particularly in the reserved constituencies, the separate electorates. By 1945, they swept the whole lot of them, except in the northwest frontier. So certainly, I think one has to accept that the British had succeeded in their effort of fomenting political differences between the leadership of the Congress and those who were outside the Congress, and within those limited electorates, it was certainly Jinnah and the League that had majority support. And the mass contact campaign of 1937, particularly in the UP, didn't get off the ground at all.
Yes, Vivid.
So partly my question has been answered. You asked a question on this Indian Muslim League. But then I have another question. Was there any way out in which the partition of the country could have been avoided?
Was there any way the partition could have been avoided? I would have thought that really, I think once you had had the elections of 1945 and all the communal rioting that followed in 1946, I don't think, I think that was the last possible chance at that period. It could have been avoided, I think, if the Congress had accepted the Cripps proposals of 1942 and had not allowed themselves to go into the wilderness and had been able to keep themselves in the picture. Instead, what happened was they left the field entirely open to the Raj and the League from 1942 to 1945. But certainly, I think after December 1945, given the presence of the British, I don't think there was any possibility of avoiding partition. That is why I do not attach much importance to the suggestions that Jinnah was willing to accept the 1946 Cabinet Mission Plan, and that it was some stray remarks of Nehru that led to the break. I think, I mean, this is really a very superficial interpretation, because by that time, I think the game was lost.
Yes, okay.
Yeah.
So I just wanted to, in fact, make a comment of my own assessment in terms of the, you know, the terrorist concept and expression. I put it that way, that it was not the terrorism, it is a revolutionary concept, which came out not as just a small gunfire or smoke here and there. It was a committed a concept which was practiced with the philosophy that the power can come to the barrel of the gun. And if you see the history of the power component, it started when the Burmese was writing in 1918, where the Anandamath is basically an expression that you can liberate yourself, the soul, rather than begging for it. Subsequently, in terms of the specifically which is called Bangladesh now, the seed was germinating very quick form, and that was the result basically in 1905, the Bengal was broken down into pieces. And there too, if you see, the ordinary middle class people raised their voice, starting from Surya Sen, their school teacher, the students, and a very large number sacrificed their all with this concept basically that it is possible to gain the independence. And though the method may be a particularly different form, and I think throughout the 1920 to 1940, still the struggle continued, even in the Congress, when 1931, the Congress, which was saying basically a radical approach. The subsequently, then what happened, as you said rightly, the Congress movement, it was a radical group, another one is just a conventional group. And basic approach to the radical group, problem came up because of the Gandhi's firm commitment of his experimentation with the truth, which he believed this is the only solution, and this is the only possibility, and there is no other possibility. And perhaps the standing against Gandhi, as you rightly said, anybody get cut, and there was hardly any leadership at that particular point. Subsequently, in 1941-42, one leader which existed, and in fact, he was limping, whichever Subhas, which he disappeared in 1941-42. And that was one reason, basically, that this revolutionary group could not raise, could not involve and make a mass movement. But the contribution which they made in terms of the awakening, in terms of the bringing into the minds and the hearts of the people, look, you need something more than that. And that particular advantage was gained by these Gandhiji's peace experiment. I would definitely put it that the awakening which came, not just only this kind of experimentation of the truth, but it came to the blood pouring the blood. And that advantage Ramaji got it. But the unfortunate part of it, that this revolutionary's approaches basically has not been highlighted much in terms of getting the independence struggle. This seems to me the historian looks at it in a very passive form and saying that, oh, this is only a smoke a little bit here and there. That is not true. It is true that the bloods are in fact coming as producing a river and an ocean. And that has definitely important impact in the and advantage which you gain today.
My question is supplemented.
You want to answer that? It's a statement.
Yeah. Fair enough. Yeah, what? Yeah, go on. Yes.
Mine is a supplementary question because I feel that it was the Indian National Army, setting up the Indian National Army by this point, was a combination of this revolutionary spirit scheme. And on the other hand, due to the Second War, the British had become themselves quite weak. And primarily they thought that with their economic and other weaknesses, the raising of the spirit in India because of this revolutionary movement primarily, they will not be able to keep hold of the Indian. And this is particularly proved by the fact that the partition took place there, that proved that recently the whole of India had not acted as one unit. So otherwise, the partition would not have been
finished in 13.
Yeah. Well, I'll take both those comments together. I'm willing to accept that probably the revolutionary sentiment was of importance and of some significance in building a certain atmosphere of the national movement. But what would have happened, I mean, I must say that I would have thought that while, as you point out, in Bengal and perhaps to some extent in the Punjab, and except there, I don't think that what you term the revolutionary spirit feeling had really gained much support.
In Maharashtra, sir, it was in Maharashtra, Chapekar Brothers.
Sorry?
Maharashtra.
That was 1897. After that?
In some Savarkar was
quite active. Yeah.
Well,
look. Sorry?
Before that one, 1869, Vasudev Ballabh Phalke was there.
1869?
What
he did
during the
20th century. Yeah, this period. Well, he's saying that, you know, the Congress was too placid and therefore these revolutionaries have not been given importance. I think you should draw a distinction between the revolutionary spirit and the radical spirit. I'm prepared to accept that perhaps there was a considerable spread of radical sentiment, and into which goes not just the what you describe as the revolutionaries, but also the left-wing parties, the communists and others. But I would not have thought, and here of course this is again the counterfactual stuff, I would not have thought that the Raj could have been displaced by the kind of gun power that you talk about in the hands of the revolutionaries. Now certainly the Indian National Army was an important force, not so much in what it did on the ground as in evoking certain sentiments. As far as the British were concerned, I don't think they were shaken by the Indian National Army. In fact, they were more shaken by the naval mutiny of February 1946 in Bombay, because they thought that this really showed that the spring of the empire had broken. It is true that the British withdrew. One element in that was a sapping of their feeling for empire, and they, by 1945, the war had broken their primacy in the world. That is certainly an element which everybody would accept is a part of the reasons for the British quitting in 1947.
Well, gentlemen, I think Professor Gopal will be with us, not only today, all of tomorrow, and the after tomorrow, because
you make it sound terrible.
By Professor Thapar, I think we have to make a copy and get ready for next one. But again, from the point of view of building institutions, we have to thank our speaker. I think we'll keep that. But you noticed on the inaugural day, it was decided that the vote of thanks will not repeat the entire speech of the main speaker. And therefore, I'll just say thank you, but I'll make two comments which I can't suppress, belonging to the 30s also. And I think from the way we questions have come out, Professor Gopal has brought some new thoughts on what happened in the 30s and 40s. And the fact that these Cambridge historians are saying, was there a national movement at all, came as a surprise to me. And we have our usual views on the terrorists did something, the Indian mutiny did something and all that sort of thing. But how radical a view certain other people take was a most interesting contribution. But I recall one of the conversations of Hitler, of all people, which is well documented. I think he said this a few months before Germany collapsed. And somebody says, what about the Indian Legion? He says, the Indians, what good are they for? They're only meant for, they can't even kill the flies on their bodies. Or some statement like this. So that was the contempt that the fascists had for India. It's certainly Hitler, and that means a lot of other people. Since it was mentioned what the fascists would do in case they had won the war, I think this position would have been quite disastrous. But we don't know what we would have done with the flies or ourselves. I thank you once again for a most enlightening Republic Day speech.
First is that there are many people who would like to have asked Dr. Gopal questions, and I'm sure Dr. Gopal would have liked to answer them. What I suggest is you ask him the questions and write down the answers, and we'll put it on our records. Either we'll read it into the tapes or put it in a book. Since he is here, if the formal part can be overcome by modern gadgetry, you can ask him the questions, show him the answers which you have written down for him, and we'll have it put in the records, either in the form of questions answers to the paper or in the tapes itself, which can be read out into the tapes, so that your question and the answer are on record.
No.
That is entirely between Dr. Gopal and yourself.
The institute. What we can do, we can invite him for a drink and place a question before him. If you will get here. Yes, today, yes.
Now, the institute does not take responsibilities for these alcoholic suggestions. But you could welcome questions and answers in any form. I have said what I have said. Shall I pass it on?
Yeah.